Blog Talk Radio.
Prayer request today,
And I just thank God that we are able to go before the throne of grace and make our petitions known unto him. Yeah, yeah. All right, Brother Louis, I understand. We thank God. Sister Sherry had a surgery, and Brother Louis says she's recovering and up and walking. And so we thank God for that. Thank God for prayer. Hallelujah. And him hearing and answering us. That was good news early this morning for me. Because, you know, we understand that we're going to go through some things. But when you got somebody praying with you and praying for you as you're going through, it makes it better. It makes it better. And the word said, I didn't say it now, but God said in his word, where two or three are gathered in his name is touching and agreeing. He's in the midst. So not only does he hear, but he can quickly answer us. And so we're thankful unto him this morning, and we're moving right along today. We're going in with prayer, and we'll come back with another song, and then we're going to use a scripture today that Bishop G.E. Patterson will speak from. His message today is God Can, and so he's going to be our speaker for today. I love Bishop Patterson. I love his teachings and preachings and for years. And so I'm just grateful that he was able to leave it behind so that we yet could hear, you know, what God gave to him in messages for us. And so we're thankful. We're thankful this morning. So we're going to pray. And after prayer, we'll have another song. And we'll come back with Bishop G. Patterson today. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for another Wednesday morning. We thank you for bringing us up into this present time. We thank you for all you've done for us, what you're doing for us, and, Father, what you're going to do. You're Almighty God who have all the power, and you're on our side today in spite of us. We thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for you look beyond faults and yet meet needs. Father, you come in when we least expect it and bless us. You bless our going out. You bless us coming in. And we're grateful unto you this morning. We appreciate you. We love you today, for it was you who first loved us. Without your love, we wouldn't know what love is. And, Father, we thank you. We thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for keeping us safe, keeping us in our sound minds. Thank you, Lord, that nothing just overtakes us. But God, we're yet here, and we're yet striving for perfection in you. We know that you understand. You understand each of us better than anyone else, better than we understand ourselves. You made us for your pleasure. You found a way to redeem us back to you. You so loved us that you sent your only begotten Son. And Father, all we have to do is believe on him, and we won't perish, but have everlasting life. We thank you this morning for his suffering, his hanging, his bleeding and dying, conquering all and rising with all power. We thank you this morning because all of this benefits us, and you did it for us. And Father, you even made us for your pleasure. We thank you this morning. We thank you. We can't say thank you enough. And Father, we had 10,000 tongues each, and we began to praise you with every tongue. It just wouldn't be enough. But, Father, we believe that you're more than. You're more than we need today. Hallelujah. And we give you glory, honor, and praise. I bring every caller and every listener before you, those coming through the archives and the podcast. And, Father, we ask today that you would bless each and every caller, each and every household represented here. And we need you today. Without you, we can't make it. We can't make it without you. And, Father, you're on our side today in spite of us, and we are just grateful unto you. We're grateful that, Father, you look beyond us, hallelujah, and keep on blessing us. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. This morning we ask that you would bless each household member, bless family and friends near and far. And, Lord, whatever they're standing in the need of today, I ask in the name of Jesus, touching and agreeing with them, that you would do it today for them, oh God, that you would work out every situation, you would make every crooked line straight, that you would visit their homes and allow your anointing to flow
and fix everything that's broken there. Fix every heart that's broken. Fix every hurt, every pain. God, we ask this morning that you would come in and send forgiveness, oh God, in the name of Jesus, and help us to forgive others. Lord, we thank you this morning that you can do all of this for us. We ask today that those that stand in financial needs, that God, you would meet the need today in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. Hallelujah. And Father, we ask this morning that you would bless those that are sick and that you would heal today. You took a beating for the healing of the nation. And Father, there's yet healing in the hem of your garment. You heal all manner of sickness and disease. And Father, with your stripes and by your stripes, we all are already healed. We ask for physical and spiritual healing and mental healing today. For Father, you didn't give us a spirit of nothing else but love, power, and a sound mind. And help us today, O God, to operate and these gifts that you have given unto us, in the name of Jesus, we ask. Bless those that are incarcerated, those that are in every branch of the military. Bless children this morning, widowers and bereaved families, intercessory prayer people, preachers everywhere, preaching in the name of Jesus, in obedience unto you and love for your people. Father, bless Israel and prosper Jerusalem today. Continue to bless America and the leadership of America. And Father, continue to have mercy upon us all in the name of Jesus, we ask. And Father, we ask this morning that you would bless this segment of Jesus in the Morning. Have your way here. Father, let us hear what the Spirit has to say unto us, the church, that God, we would be convicted, and God, that we would become an obedient people unto you. We ask this morning as we hear this message that God, you would iron the wrinkles out of us and blot out the spots in us today in the name of Jesus. We thank you this morning. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Again, we ask that you would have your way here today. In the precious name of Jesus, we ask it all. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for Sherry's healing this morning. We thank you, Lord. God, we thank you that you're going to send Larry back to Wichita, even closer, oh God. We thank you this morning. Do it for your glory. And God, do it that the family can praise you and look unto the hills from which cometh their help. All of their help comes from you this morning. You made the heavens and the earth. Remember Laura today, God. Lord, remember her and touch and heal her body. Lord, raise her up. God, bless her in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Father, again, we ask it in Jesus' name. Again, amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. There's none like him. None. Well, Sean Mitchell says, searched all over, couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you, Lord. Hallelujah. Another songwriter said, nobody but you, Lord. Nobody but you. When I was in trouble, you brought me over. Nobody but you, Lord. Nobody but you. Hallelujah. Nobody but him today. He's on our side in spite of us. Yes, he looked beyond our faults and yet meet our needs. And we're grateful unto him this morning. I tell you, we got a God that loves us. We got a God that's for us. And his word says if he be for us, he's more than the whole world against us. So we thank him today. We thank him. And we're moving right along. We're going to one more song of the morning. And when we come back, we're going to come back with Bishop G.E. Patterson. And his message for today is God can. Yeah, and I know he can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Get up and go this morning with Barbara and Jesus in the morning.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. So we're going in with Bishop G. Patterson this morning and his message of God can. Let me refresh right quick and we're going right in with the message this morning. We're not going to prolong the time and hear what the Spirit has to say to the church today. And we just thank God. We just thank Him. He's on our side in spite of us. That's what I think about. And I deserve death, but because of Him, He saw fit to give me better. Yeah. Okay, man. Oh, I get downloaded. That's what happened now. All right, we're going in with you. We just have to go through YouTube. I was supposed to put it in the studio, and I guess I didn't get around to it. So it's okay. We still get the message.
Y'all, we just want to thank you this morning that by faith we're reaping the harvest that you promised. You've already begun to take back what the devil stole. And that's why we're rejoicing. Because the little bit is just an earnest of our expectations, but we know that we're going to recover it all. Thank you. We pray, Lord, today that by the time this worship celebration shall have reached its conclusion, that lives will be changed, totally turned around. Some who came mourning will leave rejoicing. Hallelujah. That those who felt they had been defeated will know that it is not they but Satan who have been defeated. And we thank you for victory. We thank you for victory. We thank you for victory. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Well, come on, give the Lord another hand of praise and let me see this. Hallelujah. There is a passage of scripture that I have spoken from so often, both here in the morning worship celebration as well as in the Tuesday night deliverance service. But from time to time, I just feel impressed to go back to that particular passage in Psalm 78. I might have mentioned it before, but at those times when sleep seemingly wants to flee in the other direction, and I know that most of you don't know anything about that, but you who have had that experience sometimes, wee hours of the morning, 2:30, 3 a.m., sleep can't be found. There's one way that the devil himself will participate in trying to help you sleep. Pick up this book. We'll pick up this Bible in the middle of the night and start reading. And before you know it, there is an open book, a pair of closed eyes, and the enemy shall have done his job of rocking you to sleep. But a few nights ago, as Miss Patterson was reading some scriptures, and when she read the same narrative in one of the other passages from Psalm, I said, that's good, but I want you to read it from Psalm 78. I just got a certain something for Psalm 38. And I want to share it with you again today. Begin reading with verse 9. And we will read from verse 9 through, well, we go to verse 19. If you have it, say that. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law, and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt. In the field of Zoan, he divided the sea and called them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as in heat. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rocks and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their love. Yea, they spake against God They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, that the water gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. I'm going to stop right there. Usually when I deal with this particular text, I use a subject that is a question form. Well, stop asking, can God? Instead, say, God can. I wish you would just tell five people around you, God can. Doesn't matter what it is. God can. Whatever you need him to do, God does. And as many times as I have read this particular psalm, it seems as though even as late as this morning, as I read it again, I saw something in it that I really had not seen before. Because there is a beautiful picture here at the verse where we started, verse 9, the children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows turned back in the day of battle. He is simply saying that these are God's people that had everything that they needed in order to work with. They had no reason to fear man. The presence of God was with them. But it is something about it that when the enemy gets into the mix of things, it doesn't matter how blessed you are, the enemy can so confuse your mind. The enemy can so just mess with you until you can be right in the middle of the blessing. And while you're in the middle of it, you don't really know and they can't really see where you are. Ephraim is one of the sons of Joseph. Ephraim could be looked upon as that overflow blessing. Now let me say it this way. The Lord promised, first of all, Abram, and Abram followed Isaac followed Jacob. Jacob was blessed to father 12 sons. And at the time when Jacob was about to go home to be with the Lord or wherever they believed in that time they were going, Joseph wanted to be blessed by his father Jacob. What the actually Joseph brings before his father, Jacob, his two sons. He places the older son on his right and the younger son on his left. But instead of him extending the right hand to the older boy, he takes the left hand and crosses over to the older boy. You got to see the picture. And then he takes the right hand and crosses over to the younger. So in other words, the younger son receives the blessing of the elder son. If ever anybody had, I guess, a right according to the customs of the flesh to feel like he had a blessing stolen, it certainly would have been the older son, because it ends up that Ephraim gets Manasseh's blessing, and Manasseh ends up with Ephraim's blessing. But you do not hear, and this is one of those strange things in the Bible, you do not hear anything about a tribe of Joseph. But you do hear about the tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh. So in reality, Joseph received double, because his two sons each, one of them got a blessing, which really honored their father. I don't even think you got that one. Instead of one son getting one tribe, two sons, each one of them gets a tribe apiece. Let me tell you, you can walk before God in such way with such faith until God will double the blessing that was coming your way. The one thing you have to remember about all of these patriarchs in the Old Testament is that just because they were blessed did not mean that they were infallible. It did not mean that they did not have a time of doubting. It did not mean that there was not a time when they stepped out of line. See, if there's anything the devil wants to say to you is that you are now ineligible to receive a certain blessing because of something you did. But let me give you a good New Testament example. Any sick among you? What should he do? Call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sin, the sin shall be forgiven. There's another one, I don't think you got it. The enemy would have you to believe that when you got sick, that the reason you didn't get instantly healed when the preacher prayed for you and laid hands on you, anointed you with oil, is because of what you did week before last. But my Bible says that the prayer of faith will save the sick. And even if you did mess up, if you committed sin, yes, God wants you to repent of that sin. But the sin you committed won't stop God from healing you. It just means that he has to do a double work. And that double work is if you committed sin, the sin is forgiven. And then comes the healing. Don't let the devil back you into a coma. I look at people, and every Sunday I see the thousands of people, those that are seated in the church, maybe a couple of thousand in the church, and of course there are those who are listening on television, and there are those that are calling in. Number of people waiting on a blessing, looking for God to do this, looking for God to do that. And the devil, while I'm trying to preach the word of God, trying to build faith, the enemy is trying to tear down that same faith that we're trying to build up. Let me tell you, you've got to understand that there is a spiritual battle that's going on. And while the enemy is trying to tear down your faith, the harder he fights against you, the more you got to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know you do have a right to fight. Yeah, you do have a right to fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. And then when you really got to go to war, like we just got to let you know, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And the enemy, if you read this book right and learn how to rightly interpret it, Satan will be careful how he approaches you. Oh, yeah, he'll be careful how he approaches you. He doesn't want to tangle with this. Oh, my God. Look at what it says about Ephraim. Now, Ephraim himself is a blessing. He himself is the result of God's special favor. Ephraim himself, he could let you know, I wasn't supposed to have the right hand blessing. I wasn't supposed to have the blessing of the older son. But God went out of his way, crossed his arms, in order to see to it that I got a blessing that I didn't deserve. And here is one that has been the recipient of God's special favor. But what does it say in verse 9? The children of Ephraim, they were armed and carrying bows. But in the day of trouble, day of battle, they turned back. What are you turning back for? Already on, got their weapons. Bow is loaded with arrows. And he already knows what God can do. But when the battle ensued, he turned around. As somebody would say, tuck tail and run. Ran. And there are a lot of folks today, you're armed, you got everything you need. Well, let's go just a little bit further. I'm gonna cut some corners here. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. God did wonderful things, not only for the tribe, the children of Ephraim, but he did wonderful things for the children of Israel. He did wonderful things for the nation that he had chosen. And yet, out of all of the wonderful works that he had done, all of what he had shown them, they still were not ready to go forth as God desired that they would. How many of you sitting here today and don't raise your hand? How many of you in here today have experienced miracles from God? But instead of moving forth in him, the enemy have you cowered down. And you're just sitting there looking at a door and scared to go through it. Here you are sitting before a spread table and scared to eat. Oh, my God. No, but that table must not be for me. I mean, all I see around here are people who hate me. That table must not be for me, because see, if it was for me, the Lord would put me in a more comfortable setting. He wouldn't bring all of this fine china, and he wouldn't bring all of this and set it before me. And I got enemies standing and sitting all around the wall. But when David walked in, he looked and he saw his enemies everywhere. But he never doubted that the table was his. They thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. I knew when I saw the table it was for me. How did you know it? I knew God was getting ready to give my enemy another black eye. And you can or cannot raise your hand on this one, but how many of you are tired of the devil always giving you black eyes? Don't you think it's about time that you give God some glory while he give your enemy a black eye? The writer goes back and tells me just a little bit. Just a little bit about Israel's travel coming out of Egypt. What God did, verse 13, he divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. Clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rocks and called waters to run down like rivers. He's just given a whole list of things that God did for them. But what did they do? They sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. They tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their love. It took me a while to get that. Because, you know, as a youngster, now it doesn't matter. But as a youngster growing up, you're talking about a meat lover. So I guess I would have been like them, because I love meat. You know, didn't matter whether it was hamburger. every morning he rained down manna from on high. That manna was described, like a coriander seed, just a little beady-looking thing that had all of the vitamins and nutrients and everything that a person would need in order to subsist upon that day. And they didn't have to worry because every day, with the exception of the Sabbath, God was going to rain it down. So they really lacked nothing. They wanted for nothing. But then they got hung up again, more so on instead of substance, they got hung up more on just the taste. In other words, my mind goes back to Egypt, and they had leeks and onions and garlic. And see, all that they wanted was flavor. And a lot of times, people, they're after the flavor, but they're not after that which is real essence and substance, that something that will build you up. Yeah, when I was a youngster growing up, they said some of the wonder bread that they said build bodies 8 ways or 12 ways. And God was raining them down manna from on high. He was raining down something that would build their body, that would build their mind. It was full of vital and valuable substance. But what did they want? They wanted something that tastes good. They wanted something fried. Oh, God, I know it's time for me to quit. They tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Now, God has done everything. He set a table for them in the wilderness. But verse 19 says, yea, they spake against God, and they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Why would they ask something so stupid when they just got up from the table? God is always blessing his people. You just got up from the table. Just got up really from a banquet. And it was a banquet that was for you. Nobody but you, because it had your name on the napkin. Had your initials engraved on the napkin. And had your name on the tablecloth. Your name was everywhere. People in the hall was asking, where is the banquet from this so-and-so? Everybody knew it was your banquet. And then you had the nerve to say, can God. I wish you'd tell somebody you need to stop asking that question. He's already proven that he can. Hallelujah. He can do whatever. Whatever needs to be done. Instead of you sitting there wondering, let me get ready and go to my seat. Instead of you wondering whether God can do this or do that or do the other, whatever you need, I want you to know that if you need it, I wish I had 3 or 4 hours and had the time to really break that thing down. But when God was first really introducing himself to this nation, he told the one that he was using to bring them out, Moses, I know you're wondering what my name is, because you're down there in Egypt where I'm getting ready to deliver you from. And down there, they got all of these different idol gods. and Osiris and Isis and Kephra and Geb, Set and Nut. They got all of these gods, about 35,000 idols, and they felt they needed a different god for everything that happened in Egypt. And when you get back and tell even your own people, Israel, that God said, let my people go, they don't want to know. Before you even go in to Pharaoh and he asks any questions, your own folk are going to want to know, what is the name of this God that has sent you? And I know that your name is going to go back to Geb, and your name is going back to Kephra, and your name is going back to Ra. But I want you to know that when you are asked, when you are inquired of, after who is the God that delivered you, I just want you to tell them, my name is I Am. Whatever you need, I Am. If you need water in a dry place, let me tell you, I Am water. If you need bread in a starving land, I Am the bread that came all the way down from heaven. Whatever you need, I Am. If you need a doctor and you can't find Dr. Wallace over there, you need a urologist. Maybe you might need some other field of medicine. You may need an oncologist. You may be over on the female side, and you need a doctor that ministers especially to women and women conditions. I hear him say, you don't have to go to the Yellow Pages to try to see what category you need to get in. All you need to do is find the word physician. And when you see the word physician, all you got to do is turn. And when you turn the page and you get to the page that says Jehovah Rapha, it says that he was specialist in healing. He can heal anything. I wish you knew it. Because I know a man. He can heal your soul and body. I know a man that can heal all manner of disease. Whatever you need, you ought to just give him a try. I said it a few days ago that if you tried everything and everything is fixed, what do you need to do now? Try Jesus. Try him. He's a donor. He's a way maker. A burden bearer. Try Jesus. I'm going to have to go to the sea, but somebody out here now, you needed help like you never needed him before. When I was a little boy, they used to sing, if you ever needed the Lord before, you sure do need him now. You need him. Anybody in here need him and know you need him? I've got the truth. But some somebody in here right now. You need him as a lawyer. Why would I need him as a lawyer? Because you got in trouble. Somebody in here, you don't even want the folk that's closest around you. You don't mind being in the trouble, but you don't want nobody to know it. Well, you may as well get ready. It's going to leak out. I don't know who I'm talking to, but don't worry about it leaking out. The only thing you need to worry about is, you don't even need to worry about that, is that what leaks out does not put you in. Preacher, what do you mean? I mean what leaks out. Make sure that it doesn't put you in the boot house. And you can escape. You can escape that trouble that's waiting outside your door. You can escape it. The Lord told me to tell you, you can escape it. But you need to come right now and just let him know I need your help. That's right, don't be afraid. Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Bishop G. Patterson this morning, and his message of God can. And this was a wonderful message today, and I thank God that he can. And he can do all that we need him to do and more if we keep the faith and continue to believe him and continue to believe his word. Apostle Paul, I believe it was, said, after standing, stand for more. Yeah, because we're standing on the word of God, the sure foundation. We're standing on the truth. Yeah, because we know that God is the truth, the way, the life. Yeah, he is the life. He is that for us, for the believers. And not everyone believes this, and not everyone have a a personal relationship with him that they believe. But that's the first key in getting to know God, is to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The key with God, too, the second key, is to seek him. Yeah. If you believe, seek God, and the more you seek him, the more you will find him. Oh, yeah. Yes, you will. Because he's waiting patiently. Waiting patiently for us to come to him. He's waiting patiently for us to make our petitions known unto him. So when we go to him in prayer, this is a petition. When I pray for you, you pray for me. That's a petition that we're carrying before God, because this is what we are asking him to do. And his word said we could come boldly before the throne of grace and make our petitions known unto him. There's another scripture that says we have not because we ask not. Yeah, we're not asking God for his help. We're not asking God to fix our hearts and regulate our minds. And, you know, God, give me a clean heart. Give me a heart that I can love others, even the ones that appear to be unlovable. Give me a heart to help others, those that are in dire straits, and I'm able to help them. You know, I look at Sister Linda, and if I need a letter critique to anything, I can email her the letter. And she look over the letter, critique it, and send it back to me. Yeah, I needed help, so I asked for it, because Linda can help me. Same thing with God. I need his help, so I ask him for it, because he's able to deliver for me. Whatever it is I need, he made me for his pleasure. I didn't make myself. I knew nothing about a world. Yeah, and he decided to make me. And before he created me, before he entered me in my mother's womb, he already knew me. He knew what I would do, what I would be, my pattern of thinking, what type of fingers I would have, what type of hair, what color I would be. He knew everything about me. And yet, he saw it pleasurable. So he made me for his pleasure. Yeah, he wasn't made for my pleasure. I was made for his, because it's him that made me. It's him that brought me into existence. And the more I seek him, the more I learn about him. So I've learned whatever I need that I can't do, then I can ask him for his help. I can ask him to do it for me, or I can ask him to help me with it. Yeah. Because in the beginning, he come working. So we have to do some type of work in the situation. You know, we can't just come to him and say, I believe, and then just sit back and he's going to do everything. Some things we have to do, like helping others. You know, we help the sick. We help the needy. We help the elderly. We help children. Wherever there's a need and we can do something to help, this is where we are. This is what we do. Everywhere that Jesus went, when there was something he could do, he did just that. In some cases, they asked for it. In some cases, they didn't ask for it. He saw the need, and he just went in and supplied the need. The man with the withered hand, the lame man, the blind man. Yeah. So sometimes we just see the need, and we just come on in, and we do it. Well, I know that there are places where children need help. I know there are places where children are hungry in our country, in my city even. In two cities over from me, I know there are children there that can use my help with food. And when I'm not able to buy all of the groceries I need to prepare to take to them, then I ask for help. Last week was a prime example of the dinners. I asked for help, and I sold 28 dinners, which means 20 kids, because 8 of the people who purchased, they wanted their own dinners to eat. So 20 left over was carried to the children in the project, the low-income areas. And I knew 20 would not be enough. So I went in my pocket and bought stuff to make sandwiches. So those who wasn't able to get a spaghetti dinner, they were able to have a sandwich and a drink and a slice of cake. Why? Because I saw the need. I knew in myself there was a need there. And the fundraiser did two things. Well, really three. The fundraiser gave me funds for what I'm raising funds for. It fed some children, and it fed adults. Threefold blessing. Why? I decided to help a need. And that's the way we got to do today. We got to find where the need is, and the things that we can do to help others, this is what we want to do. Jesus said, love. We're to love one another, not as the world loves. Because you often hear me say the world loves you when you can give them something that they feel that they need or they want, then they will love you. If you ask any athlete, any ball player, soccer player, runner, anybody like that, when they're at the top of their game, they have a lot of fans. Everybody loves them. Yay, Shaq. Yay, Kobe Bryant. Yay, this person, that person. Back in the day, there was a guy named Larry Bird. And I think he played for the Lakers, if I'm not mistaken. Yay, Larry Bird. But guess what? When his game went down, nobody was with him. And anybody else, when your game goes down, when you're not pleasing the world, when you're not giving them what they want, they no longer have anything for you. You may have had friends like that. You thought these people were your friends. And as long as they could get from you, they was right there cheering you on. They were your cheering section. But the minute they could no longer get anything from you, they faded away. Ask people who have come into a lot of money and they're parting or giving to their family and friends how much they appear to be loved. But when the money stopped being given out, ask them what happened. People go away. Yeah. So we're not that kind. We are the kind that give where the need is. We give where we're not going to receive anything back. There's nothing back I'm going to get. It just so happened in the fundraiser, I believe God gave me the idea to do the dinner and ask people, if you buy this dinner, you know, would you be willing to give it to a child if I can't deliver to New York, if I can't deliver, you know, to Alabama or Georgia? I'm in Florida. But I know these kids that could use the meal. Would you be willing to buy a $10 dinner and give this dinner to a child? I mean, it worked out beautifully. It worked out so I want to do it again and again and again. Because I know children are being fed. Why do you know, Barbara? I did the actual shopping, the prepping, the cooking, and the delivering the food to the kids. I stood there and watched them. Yeah, beautiful experience. The elderly, they need our help. Those that are able to help. Yeah, because a lot of elderly people, they can't get around the way that they used to, and their children are not there as often as they need them to be because they may have to work or they have a family that they have to work and attend to. So where we come in, we can clean, we can cook a meal, you know, we can do laundry. So we do these things for the elderly. We can take them to and from a medical appointment. We can take them to and from the pharmacy to pick up medication. There are a lot of things we can do. Yeah, because the harvest is plenteous, but the labor's a few. God can. He can do anything you need him to do. But he's looking for some workers as well. He's looking for us to be able to do and to do from others. Yeah, beautiful message this morning. And I thank God for his word because his word won't return void. I'm grateful for every caller. I'm grateful for every listener. Yeah, everybody that comes my way, I thank God for them. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Yeah, because if God can accept it, who are we? we must learn to accept it too. You know, I've had people that tell me, oh, don't go over by that mission, you know, the homeless shelter. Those people, they may have hepatitis, tuberculosis. They may have this and that. And you go on over there hugging those people, you may come back with something. But I believe this in my heart. If God sent me, all I'm going to come back with is a grateful heart that God could use me to bless somebody. Even in the projects, they call them, you know, where the people live that's really low income. A lot of them, oh boy, they didn't finish the eighth grade. And some of the children, and they're 14 years old and cannot count. Don't know what a $20 bill is. Don't know how much it is. And people, you know, they tell me this, oh, you going over giving those people, they don't appreciate that. Those people get welfare, they get food stamps, and they abuse the system and they abuse the money. But guess what happens? If somebody don't step up to the plate, where does it leave the children? The children can't help it that the mom's in charge and she misused the food stamps or the money or whatever. The kids still need to eat. They still need clothes and shoes. They still need love and affection. They still need attention. And many of these kids, when you just go in there and ask them this question, what would you like to be when you grow up? Have you thought about what you would like to be when you grow up? Boy, you'll get some amazing boy answers, and everybody want to talk at one time. Because everybody want to tell you what they want to be when they grow up. And when you look at their faces, they're excited that somebody is willing to hear. Somebody has asked me something because they're not getting all of the attention and the affection that they need at home. And when you hug one or two, everybody come bum rushing to get a hug. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. I've even left days in tears praying to the Lord that he would open more doors and that he would send more people, and not just church people trying to get these people to come to church for membership, you know, so that they can teach them to get a job and this and that so they can bring tithes and offering. But God sent somebody in that love these people enough to tell them about you and to give them according to their needs. Send somebody in that for those that are on drugs to be able to share with them, and they're willing to go to drug rehab or alcohol rehab. For the abusers in there, send somebody that they want to go to anger management or whatever they need. Because these are great needs, and these needs are real. These are actual things that are happening to people every day. And others see this as, oh, well, they don't want to be nothing. They're never going to be anything. They just do drugs and alcohol, and that's all they want in the world. But this is the way that I look at it. It could have been me. I could have been a drug abuser, alcohol abuser. I could have been a prostitute. I could have been a murderer, a thief. I could have been anything bad. But one day God saw my need and he fulfilled it. He saved me. And after learning about him and knowing about his love for me and others, that means the good, the bad, and the ugly, it caused me to have love and love enough to look at people's situation and say to myself, where can I help? What can I do? If it's nothing more than write a letter to city council, the mayor, the sheriff's office, somebody to ask for something that these people can get some type of help. Yeah. God is faithful to us daily. And he don't force himself on us. This is why we see all of these things happening. Drug abuse, alcohol, all kind of stuff you see. Because God is powerful. He have all power, but he won't force himself. He will not force you not to drink. He will not force you not to do drugs. The choice must be yours because he's more than a fair God. But he loves us all. He so loved the world. That's everybody, good, bad, and ugly, that he sent his only begotten son, that if we believe today, we won't perish, but we'll have everlasting life. And as I said, once we believe, we must seek him diligently. And this way we'll find out the things that's pleasing unto him and the things that God can accept, because he just does not accept any old thing. I've learned this over the years. From 1993 until today, October 23rd, 2019, I've learned, because God does not strike you down, you don't die, you know, your heart don't jump out your chest, it does not mean everything that you're doing, God is pleased. And he wants us to come to him when we recognize things that we've done, we're doing, or things that we're thinking of doing in the future. When we find out it's not right, he wants us to stop. He don't want us to do those things. He don't want us to be selfish, just take from people, take, never give anything back. He don't want us talking bad about people. You know, we may not like some things. You often hear me talk about the president. I may not like him. I may not like the things that he said. But God does not approve of me disrespecting who he has allowed to be in office. Yeah, he allowed this. Who am I? I'm going to accept what God allowed, and what I don't like, I'm going to pray about it. And if it be his will, he'll change it. If he don't change it, I just have to suffer through my trial, because it comes to make me strong. Plain and simple. That's just the bottom line. But we thank God today. He's on our side in spite of us. He looks beyond our faults, yet meet our needs. Yeah, he don't kill us. He pleasure us. He love us. He like man. Yeah, I'm going to say this. He love man. That means the generic term, man or woman. He love us. Even knowing we would be murderers and thieves and all this stuff, pedophiles and all this stuff that people are, he knew this. But he yet so loved man, he brought him forth. And he found a way to deal with man and to work with man. But many times man don't want what God has, because see, there's fun and pleasure in sin. And so the flesh, the natural man desire to do these fun and pleasurable things. But we have to stop ourselves if it's against our God. Yeah, I had to wake up and say, you can't be a liar anymore. It's not right and it's not a good thing to be a liar. You can't be a cheater anymore. You got to stop the cheating. And what you can't stop, you got to ask him to help you to stop it. Your desire has got to change. And you often hear me say your natural man, that flesh, has got to die so that the spirit of God can live in us. He's a spirit. And they that worship him even must worship him in spirit and in truth. Because God wants the real you. He wants your heart. You don't want your mouth, your lips service. He wants what comes from your heart, because what comes from our heart is the truth, and this is what he deals with. I prayed for things, and God knew that's not what I really wanted. He didn't deliver. But when I pray for that which I really want, the God delivers, and he delivers on time. It's not always in my timing, but it's in his perfect timing. And when it gets there, it's right on time. Grateful unto him this morning for all he has done for me, all he's doing right now, because he's doing great and mighty things for us. He's keeping us breathing. He's keeping us alive. We have the use and activity of our limbs, all because of him. I thank him for what he's going to do, expand my ministry. Next year be 10 years of Jesus in the Morning radio talk show. He's going to bless the five-day cruise. Many, I'm praying, that will come with us on this five-day cruise. And even on the cruise, we will celebrate God. Yeah. People that I didn't even know, I'll get to know. I'll get to meet strangers and be a blessing in some way unto them. Ah, yeah, God is faithful. He just needs us to be faithful unto him. Yeah, and if we can be faithful, he said he would give us a crown of life that will never fade away. So I'm grateful unto him. Listen, the studio is open. If there's anyone who has something they would like to say this morning, please feel free to press that number one and come in, or you can call 619-639-4609 and press the number one. And we'd love to hear from you if you have some ideas or you want to say good morning or there's something you want to encourage us with. We'd be more than happy to hear from you today. Yeah. All right. We're moving right along. Let me get my roll call material together. And we'll do roll call and one more song, hopefully in the ending. And we'll get out of here. Want to say good morning to you, Sister Dorothy Goodman. Thank you so much towards the $100. God bless you. And good morning to you, Sister Rose Brown. And good morning to you, Sister Diane. Good morning to you, Sion. God bless you this morning. Good morning to you, Sister Rita and Sister Alexis and Sister Laura, Mary Ann. Good morning. Good morning, Lachelle. Good morning to you, Melanie Rose. Good morning to you, Brother Jermaine and Brother Anthony, Brother Glenn, Brother D, and Brother Dan and Pastor Herring. Hey, Mike. God bless you this morning. And thank God for you tuning in. And I have a prayer request. And it's for Larry Ellis this morning. And we're praying that he's sent back to work release in Wichita. They're trying to send him away to a prison in Arizona because the prison where he's at is overcrowded. So we don't want him to go far from home because that way his family won't be able to visit him. So if we touch and agree and ask God to send him back to work release in Wichita, but God send him back with a different mind, you know, a new mind setting to walk upright and do right before you. I believe God is able, and I believe he can do it. So all the intercessors, those that can pray, I ask you to pray for Larry Ellis this morning and include his family. Pray for his family as well. I usually have a week's supply of prison pen pal writing, but this week I have no writing, so God knows what I need. And but any day now, I may get a letter in the mail from one of the people that's locked up, and, you know, I write them back. And some people have phones, and, you know, on their phone, smartphone, they can find Jesus in the morning. I'm not saying it's legal and it's right, but, you know, people do all kind of stuff. So we just thank God for every listener and every caller today. And wherever you come through, we pray that God will bless you and your family. If you have loved ones that are locked up and you want them to get the word of God and have a good friend, feel free to give my address to them, P.O. Box 832, Fleming Island, Florida, 32006. And they can write me, and I will write them back and send them scriptures and whatever God give me to give to them. This is, you know, what I'm doing. And sometimes God will use me to prophesy, and they don't believe it because I've been locked up 10 years. I got 30 years, and God is telling me he's going to let me out. The state didn't say that, so they can't grasp it. But God has spoken, and then they come and let them know we're paroling you where, you know, they didn't think they would get a parole or whatever the case may be. Because if God's speaking, it should surely come to pass. Yeah, he's above man. Ha ha. All power, all power. Hallelujah. And he's on our side. So no one have anything else to say. I will pray us out this morning. I'm trying to wait till 8:30 at least. I will pray us out, and we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. And listen, y'all pray for Sister Sherry. Brother Lewis said that they got her walking and everything, but we want to keep her. That's Brother Lewis' wife. We want to keep her lifted in prayer. Yeah, that God will continue to bless him and her. And I was praying, too, that God would, you know, send all that they need. If they need some health care workers, you know, somebody to come over and to help them, you know, I'm praying that, you know, they will get that. They will get what their needs are. Yeah, because God is faithful. I know he's able. He's able. And I'm just grateful this morning. Let me see what Sister Rita sent me right quick. I heard it go off. Bing. I know she sent me something. But we thank God this morning. I'm trying to get my computer fixed. And I know she, the lady here that's helping me, I guess she said this lady is too slow. But I'm doing what I do, what I'm doing, and I will get back to them and I'll get it all sorted out and everything. But let's pray. And again, we pray God bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for all that has been said and done today. We thank you, Lord, for your word, God can, because truly you can. You can do whatever we need. And Father, as we depart this morning, we ask that you will bless our going out and bless our coming in. And Father, meet the need in our lives today, according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. Bless Sister Sherry, God, continue to heal us. Bless Brother Louis, continue to heal, God. Bless Larry Ellis, that God, he will be able to go back to Wichita to work release. Lord, open the doors and make waves. And Father, we ask that you would give him a mind to remember to walk upright before you daily in the name of Jesus. We thank you this day. And Father, as we depart, all those that stand in the need of finances, Lord, we ask that you would open doors and make ways for them. The earth is yours, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Father, there's nothing too hard for you to do. You do as you please because it's yours and we are your people. Father, move today in a mighty way in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And Father, we ask all of this again in your Son Jesus' name. Amen, then hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, October the 23rd, 2019. Again, it's in Jesus' name. And we thank God. So listen, we're going to one more song of the morning. And we won't be coming back after this song. But Sister Diane, I'm going to dedicate this one to you today. Well, come on.
soul out. I'm